You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
On the surface, central bankers seem to have a pretty easy job. They meet for a few days every couple of months and they decide whether interest rates go up, they go down, or they stay flat. But of course, it's not the case at all. They're constantly analysing data, GDP, inflation, housing statistics, consumption trends, geopolitics, and everything else. And central bankers have been particularly active in the last couple of months. Here to make sense of it all is Jason Borbrasheen, portfolio manager at 91 in London. This week we've had the Fed, the BOE, last week we had the ECB, even South Africa's chipped in with the rate cut. Shall we start with the most important one, Jason, and that's the US Federal Reserve. Sum it up for us, please.
So the Fed cut by 0.5%. They, I think, surprised the market slightly. There was a bit of a strange communication lead up. So we had had in the previous week or so the latest unemployment data there, which is, I think, showing a little cause for concern, not necessarily a dramatic one. And the Fed's messaging via their alternative means, so particularly through journals like the Wall Street Journal and the FT, went into slight overdrive before the meeting, trying to essentially communicate to the market that they were going to cut by more than then being priced. And I think what they said is possibly a little more interesting than what they did. So there's a clear move towards focusing on the labour market and whether that deteriorates further. And that, I think, is a very sensible approach, because ultimately when you do see a negative dynamic within the labour market, i.e. unemployment rising, actually, for whatever reason that might be, interestingly, if you go back into the past, so whether it is that there are more workers or that there is less demand, either way can often lead to some poor economic outcomes. And I think the Fed really are trying to show that they are ahead of that, and making a 50 basis point decrease to rates, which is more than the normal 25 increment they would make or decrease they would make, I think is part of that.
I think the Fed is always going to come under heavy scrutiny and criticism as well, because of the way that they've behaved in the past. You know, the infamous transitory phrase from Jerome Powell regarding inflation. Do you subscribe to the view that they should have done 25 basis points at the previous meeting and another 25 at the meeting they've had this week? Or do you think it's entirely appropriate that they said, OK, we're going to take a bold step, 50 basis points it is this time?
No, I think you're right in the first case. That ultimately, had they seen the data they had available to them at this most recent meeting, they would have gone beforehand. And actually, I think even with some of the data they had in front of them at the previous meeting, they should have been doing that anyway. So in a manner, I think they're catching up for having missed out previously. And the big question I think investors now need to grapple with is whether or not what's going on in the labour market is something that can't really be undone by acting, even from the Fed, and that actually the Fed are even further behind than they appreciate. But even if they were to try and get ahead of it, that ultimately there's some damage being done through rates being held where they were that is taking some time to play through. Or alternatively, that the Fed are at the foothills of a labour market deterioration, and that by acting quite emphatically, which is what they were trying to communicate they were doing at this meeting, they can actually try and get in front of that.
Okay, so they've done the right thing, albeit a little bit late, it can be argued. What about the ECB? The ECB started before the Fed. It's an important trading bloc, isn't it? So it's not as important as the Fed, but goodness me, it does wield some influence. What about their policy?
I honestly think it's a bit of a mess, the communication from the ECB at the moment. So you can debate how much that matters, but ultimately I think that their forecasts and their actions are difficult to reconcile. And I think if you boil that down as an investor, it is because the Fed really are in the driving seat here. And so many economies are essentially takers of the Fed's actions, and they're looking towards the Fed's view on what inflation versus growth is doing. That's the balance that most central banks implicitly or explicitly are trying to strike. And so I think the dynamic that is underlying most of the trends across economies, certainly in the developed world, but also to an extent in the emerging, is that inflation is coming down. I do actually think there is some evidence that the characterization of inflation as transitory is true, because some of it, actually quite a lot of it, if you look at various different ways of cutting up the inflation data, was simply a result of distorted supply chains. And those are healing and have healed in many cases. And that has brought down inflation. You then have this lingering concern in wages, essentially, which transmit as or translate into services inflation, which is proving sticky in most economies. So I think that central banks are dealing with that question. Will that continue to come down? And the evidence they're seeing is that it probably will, and that they need to pivot towards focus on the employment side of their mandates.
What about the Bank of England? You're just around the corner from there. Inflation in the United Kingdom stayed at the level that was issued in July, during the month of August, to 2.2% year on year. But the core inflation was different, 3.6%, and therefore there was no interest rate cut or rise. It went flat. Again, are they being prudent or a little bit too prudent?
I think they were slow to hike on the way up for inflation, and they're being slow to reduce on the way down as well. So not a surprise in terms of their action yesterday. What is, I think, unusual, if we look at different bond markets, is the pricing for what future moves are likely to occur. So the US is expected to reduce rates pretty meaningfully down towards 3% over the next 12 months plus. The UK is not expected to do very much at all. What's priced in the UK, I think, quite startling, to the extent that you have much less action priced by the Bank of England, certainly relative to places like the US, by the Fed, over the next 12 months. So the UK expected to not really adjust rates very much. The US expected to cut by over 2%. And that, I think, is basically wrong, that ultimately people are, and the bank is assuming, that the UK is on somehow a completely different growth and inflation trajectory to the rest of the world, certainly to the US. Whereas I think they were just slow to adjust rates on the way up. They lagged what the Fed did, and they were, I think, less emphatic in their discussions. And now they are being slow on the way down. And ultimately, if the base case of inflation certainly continuing in the developed world to fall is correct, that ultimately you're continuing to see this normalization of supply chains, and that wages are a lagged impact of labour tightness, and so services inflation is on a downward trajectory, the UK are going to find themselves behind in that manner. And that does raise some interesting investment implications, I think. So we have been very positive on fixed income, on pure sovereign bonds, for the last 6 months or so. And we had run sort of close to our maximum amount of duration. And that worked in two ways. Firstly, that in an absolute sense, we could see the upside to returns, both in terms of income and in terms of capital appreciation, but also because we thought it could start to behave like a defensive asset. Because if growth was to become more in question, then actually bonds could be protective versus, say, equities. Now, I think the case for the US is becoming more nuanced because so much is now priced and expected by the Fed. But actually, the case in these other economies like the UK is becoming a little more clear. Now, one has to debate whether they can detach from what the US is doing. I think that's unlikely. But actually, you might get some better performance from fixed income markets outside of the US. Particularly, we've got the US election coming up too that could provide some volatility.
Yeah, that's an understatement. You've answered my last question by saying what your positioning is at 91. But I want to ask you something else as well. And, you know, we focus on the US Federal Reserve because it is the most important. We paid lip service to the ECB and the Bank of England. But a couple of outliers which have interested me, and that's the policies of China and Japan. Just briefly on those two. It's very interesting what they're doing because it's completely different to what the really big central banks are doing.
Absolutely. I mean, China, it feels, is very much out of the headlines, but could provide a real risk case to things like equities, could actually bolster bonds perhaps in the medium term, because their activity data is very poor. And on top of that, they're actually in a sort of disinflationary, deflationary dynamic. And money supply metrics, for example, that may lead that look dreadful. And so China, I think, is actually exporting a disinflationary impulse to the rest of the world. And that, I think, is sort of not being appreciated. The central bank there is, I think, dealing with the desire to cap aggressive policy versus this below objective trend dynamic. And then, as you suggest, the Bank of Japan appears to be
very much an outlier in the opposite way. They are, you know, or last increased rates, whilst everyone else is, or the rest of the developed world, discussing about decreasing them. And I don't know that that could go on for very long. I think, again, there is some evidence that inflation in Japan could be higher than it was, but I'm not sure that we're in an entirely different cycle for inflation yet. And that means that perhaps the Bank of Japan tightened at the point when actually they should have just been thinking about leaving policy where it was. But that remains to be seen.
Jason, thanks so much for your great analysis. That was Jason Borbrasheen, portfolio manager at 91 in London. The views and opinions expressed in these podcasts are those of Lindsay Williams and various contributors and do not reflect the policy, position, or opinion of any other agency, organization, employer, or company associated with strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Assumptions made on the analyses are not reflective of the position of any other entity other than the speaker or the author. And since we are critically thinking human beings, these views are always subject to change, revision, and rethinking at any time. Please do not hold us to them in perpetuity.